This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you discussion on job scams in Southeast Asia and its impact on Indian citizens seeking jobs abroad. The participants are Skand Ranjan Tayal, former diplomat, and Vaibhav Srivastava, anchor.
It is a basic rule that whenever demand soars, the prices or the want of that product shoots up. And when we talk about the demand for good jobs, the eager job seekers are the vulnerable section who are targeted by fraudsters. Today we will talk about the job scams in Southeast Asia. And joining us in this important discussion is former diplomat Sri Skand Ranjan Tayal. Sir, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Sir, at the onset of the program, I would like to ask, and this is especially for the layman and the job seekers out there, what is a job scam and how exactly do fraudsters target their victims?
This is a new scam which has come to light that in some Southeast Asian countries, particularly Cambodia and perhaps also in Myanmar, there are agencies which recruit Indian software engineers, people who are IT experts or they have done bachelor's in computer science, etc. And they are lured by high salaries to go to these places like Cambodia. And once they are there, they are kept in captivity in kind of enforced circumstances. Their passports are taken. And not only that, they are forced to work for cybercrime. That means they make false phone calls, and they make all kinds of attempts to milk or to defraud Indian citizens. And police estimate is that almost ₹500 crores have already been defrauded by such persons from Cambodia, from Indian citizens. And these people have no recourse because the government in Cambodia is rather weak and they have no way to come back to India because they have given a lot of money to go and they are under some kind of a obligation to repay the loans. And now that its scam has come to light, the government of India has become very active, our embassy is very active, and almost 250 of our youngsters have been rescued and sent back from Cambodia. But an estimate is that perhaps there are about 5,000 Indian software experts working in terrible conditions in Cambodia.
So you've just mentioned that it's not just the engineers, but other graduates and highly skilled professionals who are being targeted in such scams and frauds. Earlier, we used to see that such scams used to happen with unskilled laborers or the blue-collar professionals. But right now, the educated professionals are also being targeted and these frauds are continuously on the rise. What do you think is the reason why they are targeting educated professionals and these frauds are on the rise?
You are very right. In the 80s, once Indian workers started going to the Gulf countries, there were a lot of issues and their contract terms were not honored and their passports were taken and they were treated like slave labor. So government had come up with a Migration Act of 1983 where all who were not high school passed were given a passport with immigration clearance required stamp, and which meant that they could go abroad only if sponsored by some recognized manpower agencies in India. At that time, the outflow was more of unskilled and semi-skilled workers. Later, of course, from 90s, skilled engineers, IT experts, professionals also started going abroad. And there was no immigration clearance required because they were all graduates. And they were mostly going to United States or Western countries or even to Russia or Japan. And there were no such issue of exploitation of this particular class of Indian skilled workers or professionals. They were really professionals. But this scam which has come to light is that these are graduates or people with degrees and they are lured and then a contract is signed and once they reach Cambodia, then they are treated as almost like slaves. They live in some hostels with very bad living conditions. Their passports are taken away. Their mobiles are taken away. And then they are forced to take part in criminal activities, cyber crime, trying to defraud people in India. And they said almost rupees 500 crores worth of fraud has already taken place. So this is a new way of crime. And our young graduates who are targeted are generally from second tier, third tier engineering companies in smaller cities, so that they can not have some good advice and some good counseling, and they fall in this trap.
So are there any specific industries or sectors or educational backgrounds from which these fraudsters target the youth to acquire them or to get them to the other countries?
Yes, because their modus operandi of this crime is through cyberspace, that means computers, but it can be simply like a phone call. So some of them would be very skilled for software and other things, but for others it is like a call center. For them, high education is not required, but not only English, but even local languages, because somebody from Cambodia can call in Telugu and then be more convincing for a Telugu or Uriya, if they call, and that they are actually speaking from a bank or from, and then they defraud and ask for all kinds of information, and then how it works. And that's why general also in India, we see so many advisories from all the banks, insurance companies that please don't give any information in a phone call or on email. At present, most of the cases have come from Orissa and Telangana, Andhra region. So perhaps these recruiters who are actually part of this criminal syndicate are based there. So the students, youth, girls, parents, all of these two, three states should be more careful.
Sir, you've just talked about the fact that how syndicates work in these particular states. Do you also feel that linguistic or communication barriers play a role which enables these fraudsters to scam the job seekers?
The language barrier is not there because as far as these job seekers are concerned, they are contacted by some local recruiters. Like there may be an advertisement in a local paper, not on a national paper. And then when the job seekers approach them, then they identify that who can be more vulnerable and who may not have very much backup here, coming from a village, or so that once he sent to Cambodia or Myanmar, then his support system in India would be weak, so that family will not be able to pursue that if something is wrong. So the recruiters are also part of the syndicate, and I'm sure they would be identifying their potential victims very carefully, depending on their background, etc.
So you were just talking about the advisories given by the ministry and the departments regarding these frauds and scams. What do you think are the important points which should be kept in mind while applying for or accepting jobs, especially in the other countries?
The Ministry of External Affairs and the government has already issued the advisory that the potential job seekers should be careful while accepting any job in Cambodia, because most of the cases at present are from Cambodia, and an estimate being that about 5,000 of our engineers or software workers are already there. So our potential job seekers first see who has advertised, what is the credibility of the employer agency here, manpower agency, which is trying to sign the contract on the Cambodian employer's behalf. How old is that company? For how many years they have some track record? And they should also ask that how many people they have sent earlier to Cambodia, and then ask for their phone numbers and try to contact those people who have already been sent by these companies to Cambodia, that whether everything is all right. Because many companies in Cambodia would be genuine employers also. But perhaps their number is not very large, because Cambodia is not a very prosperous country. Vietnam is. Vietnam is very prosperous, very thriving, and there is a job employment from Vietnam. There would not be any problem. And then central government is very strong in Vietnam. So the scamsters cannot work. The cases which have come to light are mostly from Cambodia, and then Cambodia, Thailand region, in Cambodia, Myanmar region of that area.
Sir, once a scam has happened and once the fraudsters have played their dirty tricks, what should the victim do immediately after the scam has happened? What are the steps to be followed so that a recourse action can be started immediately?
Our embassy in Cambodia is very alert for these scams. So immediately the person should try to contact the embassy and in any way try to send some information to them that where is he trapped and what is his number. Then the embassy will take further steps, and the government of Cambodia has been helping and working with the embassy, as the 250 such people have already been rescued and sent back to India. And also they should try to send a message to their family and friends in India so that they also contact the Ministry of External Affairs, and there is a pressure from here also. So the recourse is there, and it may take time, but it has been effective. But the only solution, only way out for a person in such an unfortunate situation in Cambodia or elsewhere is to somehow to get his information about his plight, his situation, his location, and his company to the Embassy of India, and they will take further action to get the person released with the full assistance, help, and intervention of the Cambodian government.
So time and again, you've mentioned a few hot spots from where these frauds are originating. Do you feel that there is a lack of proper regulation or laws in these particular areas or countries that the fraudsters are able to scam people from other countries?
That is right, because most of these scams are coming from countries which do not have a very strong central authority. And there are parts of those countries which are run by local mafias. So such scams would really be in weak countries, which have a central authority is weak, and the government's control does not reach over the entire geographical area of that country.
So what role do ministerial initiatives or regulations play? And we are talking about international diplomatic relations as well in addressing cross-border job scams and protecting the interests of especially Indian job aspirants.
The government is very conscious of all the feedback which is received and the instances of this kind which happen, imperiling the welfare of Indian workers or skilled workers or engineers, software engineers, sailors abroad. And there is a two ways of working, that if the government at the other country is strong, then of course it is easier and immediately action is taken by the host government against the local company, and no worker or skilled worker can be held against its will. So action can be immediate. But in those countries like Cambodia where the central government may not be very strong, then even after the intervention of the embassy and the central government of that country, sometimes action is delayed. But Indian government has really no other agency, no other instrument, no other way to help Indian nationals except through the local government. I would not say that all 5,000 who have gone from India to Cambodia are under very bad conditions. Perhaps many of them may be, but perhaps not all. Otherwise, Government of India would have banned any further recruitment of Indian nationals to work in Cambodia.
Thank you so much, sir, for giving us your precious time and making this a high-value discussion through your valuable insights.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on job scams in Southeast Asia and its impact on Indian citizens seeking jobs abroad. The participants were Skand Ranjan Tayal, former diplomat, and Vaibhav Srivastava, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com. or WhatsApp on 9289094044.